Within the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
Number 14. Why does God allow adversity? When the subject of adversity or human suffering is mentioned, man generally assumes that all suffering is evil. But is this really true? Is adversity always evil? A man's primary purpose in existence is to honor and glorify God, and to become as God-like as it's humanly possible for him to become. Now, this being so, everything that takes him away from God is evil, and everything that brings him toward God is good. When we've accepted this standard, we can see the events of our world in a different light. It's quite possible that the riches, the honors, and the pleasures of this world are actually hindrances rather than helps. It's quite conceivable that illness, loss of money, or even the loss of friends might ultimately serve some good purpose. Under certain circumstances, poverty is better than riches. Jesus once said, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Luke chapter 12, verse 15. All too often, the material things of our world blind us to the spiritual things and thus become curses instead of blessings, not just for time, but for eternity too. There's a passage in the letter to the Hebrews in which God tells us that he allows us to suffer because of his love for us. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the moment seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 11. This is also what David meant when he said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Psalm 119, verse 71. God doesn't promise his children that they'll be immune to all suffering, but he does promise, "And we know that all things work together for good, even to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose." Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Were it not for the heartaches, the disappointments, and the sufferings of this world, we might forget the greater destiny that lies before us. Perhaps the sufferings of this world were designed, at least in part, to cause all of us not to be satisfied here, but to lift our eyes toward the more wonderful world to come. Beyond this life, with its toils and tears, its struggles and disappointments, lies a realm of pure delight, of which the Apostle John wrote, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." That's Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Thank you for
the message you have just heard was brought to you by the Church.